Father, I know that you have heard our heart cry and we have prayed for this moment. Lord, please grant to us grace. You said, man will not live by bread alone, but by every word. As I've prayed, I pray, Lord, that you will speak through me and speak to me. I'm sorely in need, and I rejoice in your word. Father, I bless you for the privilege. Father, please grant to me that which I've asked, O Lord. Give me a wise tongue. Father, please just, give to me the privilege to just touch at what might be the mind of Christ. Use me, Lord, and bless your church tremendously. Make the word alive. Let everybody here be full, for your word is the bread of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'd like us to sing a song. The song, we sing it once in a while in church. When I get to heaven, oh, I wish I had a voice. Those of you who can sing don't know how blessed you are. I can't keep a note. I can't. And it's so frustrating. It's as if I can. Wherever Ashegun will train me. It's very frustrating. You know what you want to sing, but when it comes out, it sounds different. You want to sound like Sister Bola, and I know I certainly sound more like Sister Shade. Yeah, both of us know we can't sing. When I get to heaven, I know who I will see. I will see my Savior Jesus and shout hallelujah, amen. I'll sing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, when people in developing worlds collect their visas and they are thinking of when they get to America, there's a joy that comes. I think all of us here have been subject to visas, either before the fact or after the fact. There's a joy that comes. I got my visa. I'm going to America. The sermon today is hard. It's also a reminder of something that we have forgotten as a people, as Christians, and it's a topic that is not as talked about as I think it should be. Because I know that decades ago in Christianity, heaven was a refrain every day. Will you make heaven? We're going to heaven. We're going to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're climbing up to Mount Zion, going up to Mount Zion, the city of the Lord. Unfortunately, that is the reason for the sermon today. I get a feeling that generally the hearts of saints are no longer stirred up by the thought of heaven. When I get to heaven, I know who I will see.
Shout hallelujah, amen. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, amen.
Sister Lande, I'm singing inside. I'm just wondering why a lot of us are not singing inside.
Hallelujah, shout, hallelujah, shout, hallelujah.
I'm doing this deliberately. I'm doing this because this is a sermon for the entire church. This is the hope of our calling. Brothers and sisters, this is why we're gathered today. My prayer has been that heaven will begin to excite us Christians all over again. This is the consolation of the saints. This is the reward of suffering. This topic of eternal rest was what early Christians knew without a shadow of doubt that made them able to endure everything that earth threw at them. The hope of glory, Christ in us. I pray that God will get us excited and talking and wishing for heaven once again. And this sermon is exactly that. It's about heaven. We're going to examine what it is that God will want us to know. And I'm just trusting in the Spirit to let the truth of his consolation increase the zeal in our spirit. This is one hope. Is it money? The earth can take money away from us. But this hope of our calling, nobody can take it. Heaven was the rest that Jesus had after he had finished his work here on earth. And I just see that we don't talk much about two topics anymore. The first one is being born again. The second one is heaven. May the Lord help us as we revisit the topic this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "The kingdom of God is like a man who went out one day. He went treasure hunting. And when he went treasure hunting, he found one precious gem. And he went back home. He sold his entire jewelry box, monetized it, and he bought that gem. That is what the kingdom of God is. The early Christians went out, and for the sake of the calling and the hope of, in the common phrase, making heaven, they sold everything they had and they bought that. And they were not ashamed. We have many contending priorities on earth, many gems, many trinkets, many precious things. Some of them were deprived of their children. Some of them were deprived of their spouses. Some of them were deprived of their dignity. In Rome, a lot of them were deprived of their lands and properties, and they ran into the catacombs. If you still have not been there, I hope to be there one day. If you go into the catacombs in Rome today, I understand you will see the burial ground of Christians that were killed. Some of them were landowners. But that precious gem that God gives to the rich and the poor alike is the gem of a rest with him in heaven. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, Paul said to us that if on earth alone we have hope, then Christians are the most unfortunate people. But thank God that our hope is not on earth alone. Paul also told us in verse 58 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He encouraged us to continue to be zealous because we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. You see, if your eyes is not on the price, the chances are that your zeal will go down. And what I notice is that a lot of us are losing zeal because the Christ we have our eyes on seems to be elusive. Our eyes are on smaller prices. In Hebrews 12, the Bible talks about the cloud of witnesses that have gone before us and encourages us not to look at the things that are before, but to set our gaze on the things ahead of us through the high calling of the saints in Christ Jesus. But the devil fights this because the devil is very strategic. We don't have a lot of respect for Satan, but he, I don't know what the gender for devil is, whether it's he or it. He's a he. You have to have some respect. When the devil could not stop the gospel, what the devil decided to do was to attack the hope of the gospel. He watched as the Lord made two people in the Garden of Eden and showered them with the affection that he once had. He was the archangel. He had the attention of the Most High, and he misbehaved and lost it. And then he watched the Lord create some weak beings and gave them the entire garden with its beauty. So I cannot stop you people from enjoying the communion of the Lord. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pollute that communion. He made sure that that fruit that was forbidden was the exact one that they wanted to eat. He does the same with heaven. After the Lord Jesus was crucified, the Bible says that if only he had known God's plan, he would not have crucified Christ. He didn't. But after that, he realizes the wonderful plan. For eyes has not seen, ear has not heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of anyone the things that God has planned for his people. When he finally realized it, Satan is all about trying to prevent us from enjoying the hope. So he pollutes our understanding of the hope, of the price. So our understanding today is froth with some errors about heaven. Christians are no longer excited. To be true, even within theological circles, some people no longer believe that there's heaven. There are teachings, there are churches that legitimately believe that heaven is here on earth. Jehovah's Witness, for instance. There are clear theologians that believe, people teach you, look, heaven is a fantasy. Your best life is here. I mean, you know who I'm talking about. And before we know it, we all have begun to buy into the idea that heaven is a fantasy land somewhere. If I ask most of us to describe, we still imagine heaven as far from us. A land of fantasy, someplace where the streets are paved with gold and nobody's been there before. Well, it's there somewhere. Someday we'll get there. It's no longer real. But that's not the intention of the Bible. The entire gospel, the foundation of the entire gospel is that God's people will be with him one day. They say it's a childish talk. Talking about heaven is childish. In fact, we Christians began to mock ourselves. We say, they are so heavenly minded, they are useless on earth. Have you heard that before? Even Christians, we are mocking ourselves with it's just like saying you love your child so much, you are useless at work. I work for my child. Don't you get it? That's what Satan has done. And a lot of people are losing hope because of that. But that's not the intention of God. in this confusion, there are teachings about purgatory, men striving to bring heaven, cut heaven to size, and bring it to little definitions that we can understand. So ultimately, a lot of people have lost that great imagination, that wonderful hope, that song of redemption, that longing for the coming of Jesus Christ. But the Bible is very clear about what heaven talks about. Someone should please open to John chapter 14 for me and read verse 1. Let's start from verse 1.
Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Verse 4. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Thank you. The Bible is very clear that heaven is a place. As surely as New York and LA are places, tangible geographical locations, so also is heaven. It's so much of a place that Jesus made it clear that there'll be a day when he will come and he will hold Shade's hands and lead Shade to that place. And he also said, in that place, there are many mansions. Very wise theologian says, look, don't be ridiculous. This is a spiritual connotation. When the Lord really meant mansion, it didn't really mean physical mansion. I mean, what does a spiritual being have to do with physical? He meant mansions. The Bible says that we should receive his kingdom like a little child, because most of the wonders of the Lord have to be received with a simplicity of heart. You have to believe God's word. We shouldn't get so theologically complex that we are no longer able to believe the simple truths of the Bible. Jesus said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. QED. If the question is, are we going to gather in an actual place and step and be able to shake hands and hug? Definitely the answer is yes. Is every one of us found in Christ going to have an actual mansion? I say, you've never seen a mansion till you see the one that Jesus built. So let the poor be comforted. This is the comfort of the poor. This is why a Christian soul can never be harassed. Because all the nations, we're going to read later, of the world will bring their glory into heaven. Anywhere we are well traveled in New Covenant Church, between all of us, we bring to every continent. She alone has been to every continent, thanks to Mr. Marriott. Have you seen glory? You've never seen a wall. You may have seen the Great Wall of China, but you've never seen a wall till you see the walls of the New Jerusalem. You've seen Buckingham Palace? It's a dunghill for the mansion that Jesus built, whose foundation is the Lord. Have you seen the beauty of the lilies and the valleys? Lilies in the valleys? You've never seen it until you see saints that are clothed in righteousness and glory and shining in the beauty of their Lord, the royal diadem. Have you been to an August event? You've never been to one until you approach the holy Mount Zion, the city of the Most High God, where they are shouting, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Heaven is a place. Satan wants us to think it's some fantasy. And there are Disney, what's the name? Pixel? What's the name of that other company that was competing with Disney for fantasy movies? Pixel. P- speak, whatever. They are wildest, they are brightest creation artists or whatever have never come up with a concept as fantastic as heaven. The promises of the Lord to you are not bland. He says, I've not asked you to serve me for nothing. Let this hope, brethren, are you suffering? Are you down? Are you down on your luck? Do you think the Lord has forgotten you? You just wait for the consolation of the saints. If here on earth alone we have hope, then Paul, who had been, he had seen the beauty and the power of Rome. He was an achiever. In fact, he was an overachiever. That means his peers. Having seen all of that, he said, I count everything I've achieved as dung for the excellency of the glory and the knowledge of God. He wanted to see the power of God's resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, that he may be made conformable unto his death, if peradventure he may attain also to the resurrection of the dead with Christ our Redeemer. The heavens and the earth we pass. When the Bible talks about heavens, there are three heavens. It talks in a literal sense about the sky as heavens. It talks about the firmament, where the moon and all of it are as the heavens. But the Bible talks about the dwelling place of the Most High as heaven as well. That is where the saints are going. Someone should please read Revelation. I read Revelation chapter 12, verse 1 to 8, but let's go to it again. Sorry, chapter 21. In this place, the Bible says, in verse 4, Revelation 21, God will wipe away every tear from every eyes. Many times we expect that all tears from every eyes will be wiped away on earth. No. If there will not be tears, some people will go to heaven crying. I mean, how could they behead you and you're not crying at some point, right? Some will go to heaven with their expectations not met, some but holding on faithfully to Jesus. Some will go to heaven with the whole world mocking them and calling them a failure. Some will go to heaven like Lazarus with sauce. No, I think the body will be transformed. But their last state on earth will be filled with sauce and contempt. The kind of person that will walk in our midst, that will go, is only by grace that will hug the person. A lot of people in heaven will be like that. Some will go with heaven with their bandalas, you know, the thief by the side of Jesus. He was just fresh from thievery. But on that day, some will have a lot of questions. Some, like Job, would have lost a lot of children. Some would have lost their spouses. Some would have lost their wealth. Some would have prayed and 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 prayer will not appear to be answered. That will be the state of many when they see Jesus. But on that day, the Bible says, behold, that is the day when he will wipe away tears from every face, every eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There will be no more pain, for the former things are passed away. So Satan says to us, it's not a place. It's a place. We even know where heaven is. Satan says, we don't know. We know heaven is up. Because in Acts chapter 1, when Christ came to be taken aboard, the Bible says that the angels appeared and they saw him ascend. It did not say they saw him descend. He could have descended. He could have lateralized. He could have, what's that thing? He could have been projected. He ascended into the clouds. So show me. You see, Satan wants us to lose our child imagination. We're not knowing that no matter how old we are still children. And the Bible says you must receive the scriptures as a child. So in those days, where is heaven? It's up. You are right. Now we go, no, you know what? We really don't know the geographical location of heaven. We just know. And it doesn't make sense. Get excited again about God. It's up there. Jesus went up. So it's up there. Heaven is up. The Bible tells us in the 7th chapter of the book of Acts that when Stephen was stoned, he looked up. He said, behold, I see the angels of the Lord ascending, and he saw the Lord Jesus Christ ascending and descending upon him. The angel told us it was received up into glory. It says, when he comes, we shall be caught up, not caught down. Down is the wrong direction. We'll talk another time about what is down. You don't want to go down. Heaven is a place. When he says, I am preparing a place, it shows me it's an actual project for the project managers. It is, when you say you're preparing, that means there's a tangible presence. But come on, Brother Wale, it's just a spiritual concept. Paul told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 that, look, let's not be foolish anymore. He said, look, why are these things difficult to believe, brethren? He said, there are earthly things and there are heavenly things. The earthly things are physical, heavenly things are spiritual. He said, there are earthly bodies and there are heavenly bodies. The earthly body is temporal, heavenly body is eternal. He said, don't you understand? And they went, we don't. He said, come on, man, you do. He said, do you not see? There are fishes, there are horses, and every kind of creature has its own kind of body. So therefore, there's such a thing as a heavenly body. I will see Brother B as he is. He does not dematerialize into spiritual mumbo-jumbo. No. I will see mommy. I say, mommy. No, mommy will be young. We'll be the same age in heaven. Yes. Mommy, yes. Yes. Yeah. Amen. Amen. There will be feasts. There's such a thing as the marriage lamb, feast of the lamb. You like parties? You'll be competing with a lot of people there. Jesus said to the thief on the right hand, will we say the Lord is lying? He said, today you will be with me in paradise, in paradise. I think Yoruba says it the right way, in paradise. It's too precious not to add the extra consonant. Are you down? There's heaven. That was the consolation of the saints. Is he okay? Today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus knew he was going somewhere. It's an actual place. It's a tangible place. That thief expected to arrive at a location. Don't let Satan persuade us that we have no location. It's a spiritual mumbo-jumbo destination with no... Jesus promised it. You will get a mansion and you will get it. In Jesus' name. Then Satan says it's boring. That's the second error. Says it's going to be very boring in heaven. I say, really? So what will you be doing for 1,000 years? And I ask, what do you do when you're bored on earth? When I'm bored on earth, I call my relatives. You know, I'm surrounded by family. Jesus said in heaven you have 100 times more. I say, oh, okay. What else do you do when you're bored? It'd be nice to throw a party once in a while. You know, we throw parties. Says there'll be feasts in heaven. It's right there in scriptures. What else do you do? When I'm bored, I pick a nice book and I read. The Bible says that we will have the Lord will be a constant teacher. He will be teaching us and showing us. He says when we get to heaven, there'll be lectures. He said, all things will be revealed to us, and we will get to know as we are known. That means you are going to have, who do you think came up with the concept of learning and transference of knowledge? The king of knowledge himself. You've never been a university till you attend a lecture given by Jesus. Jesus gave us a sample for 3 years. In 3 years, Jesus gave us lessons that have occupied our lives for 2,000 years, and we still don't understand it. You think that if we had 3 years with him, he would not have enough. 30 years with him, he would not have enough to fill us with eternity, with wonders? Boredom in heaven? I don't want to go to a place where there's no feast. I mean, food. For those who like food there, there'll be food. The joy there will be too much. Yes, joy unspeakable. Boring? That's one of the tricks of Satan. Those who like to club say, man, I don't want to go anywhere where there's no club. You Christians don't club. You Christians don't do. I don't want to go where there's no clubbing. I don't want to. You just had a glimpse as the choir sang. You had a poor man's glimpse of what fellowship in heaven is like. Tell me you are bored during praise and worship. Even if you are bored during praise and worship, our own, imagine an orchestra of angels in front of you. Bored? You'll be lectures, there'll be feasts, there'll be parties, there'll be mansions. Say, oh, when I'm bored, I just visit friends. Whose company will you rather keep? The company of friends here? Or do you want to visit John and Abraham? And so, hey, Solomon, how are you? Sit down. You sit down in his mansion and go, tell me whatever happened. When you, there'll be gist. You're going to be able to enter into Peter. And I was just wondering, what were you doing? What kind of food did you eat? Or were you waiting for when you slept off? Oh, okay, okay. I don't know what they ate. Maybe something kosher or something. Yeah? Oh, well, mostly Adam is going to receive a lot of visitors. I will personally visit Eve. Say, come on. I mean, Apple. You notice we don't buy too much apple anymore. Bored? Everybody will love every other person. Look, if you started visiting saints from home to home, you'll be tired, not bored. Satan tells us you'll be bored. Those of you who like wine, so Christianity is the only reason I'm not taking it, is because of this alcohol thing. I like to have my wine. I like to have my wine. And in this heaven thing, there will be no wine, you lie. The Lord Jesus said, I will not take this cup until I take it with you in heaven, in my Father's kingdom. There will be, you've never seen vintage until you see the wine in heaven. Because the whole concept of exquisite vintage came from God. They preserved theirs for 300, 400, 500 years. This has been barreled for you for thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years. The wine. There's wine and then there's the wine. Those who are full of wine, who will lose heaven because of their love for wine, will look into what you are drinking, just like that rich man, and say, oh, can I just come over? Remember the rich man. Those who lose heaven because of mansion and property, they will look at the property in heaven and go, I've been living in a boys' quarter. Do you have boys' quarter? I know. I know. You know, in where I come from, when they build a house, the really rich people, they now build a little house at the back to keep the boys, just the staff and stuff. Oh, it's servant quarters. Okay, sorry. We didn't call it servant quarters. We call it BQ. I lived in one in college, by the way. Heaven will not be boring. I never saw a disciple follow Jesus in those 3 years and say, we are bored. What I heard was, we are amazed. This is too much. No, this is too much information. No, we can't stand it. You are too much. And of course, we know from the Bible that heaven will be beautiful, filled of gold, silver, and all of these other things. But that's not the thing, the key thing about heaven. When you hear that the streets will be paved with the things you wear on your neck, that means the sand of heaven will be gold. But those who go to heaven for the gold, D.R. Moody told the story of a woman who had a child that was sick. And the woman had been taking care of this child till she wearied herself. So the neighbor said, look, let's give you some rest. Let's take this sick child from you so you can get some rest. So they took this child away so that the woman could rest. But unfortunately, in a few days, the woman died in the house. But they knew that this child was going to be very sad, so they decided not to tell the child about the death of the mother. But after a few days, they decided to take the child back to the house. And when this little child entered the house, the child ran into the kitchen. Mommy, mommy, went upstairs. Mommy, mommy, went. And discovered that the mom was not in this beautiful house. And the child wept and said to the neighbor, please, I don't want to stay here. Please take me back. For us, if Jesus is not in heaven, then heaven is not heaven. What makes heaven sweet is because we shall behold him. His glory shall be the land. The Lamb, the glory of the Lamb shall light the city of the Lord. Those who do not love Jesus but love heaven are like travelers, are like people who love an hotel. Because it's beautiful. Because of the perks. But those who walk and travel a lot will reveal to you that after a while, hotels become nothing to them. After a while, they begin to desire the home where the noise is, their own bed, to desire their people, their children. No matter how good the hotel is, if your family is not there, it is not the hotel. It is not a home. Above all, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is in heaven waiting for us. Do you want to see Jesus? The key to heaven is the love of Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Develop a relationship now, because it's a relationship that brings you to heaven. The place makes no sense if you have no connection with the Son of God. This is our chance to know him. The third error as we close that Satan brings about heaven is that everybody will be there. Revelations chapter 20, verse 15, I'll read. And anyone whose name is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelations 21:27. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. That is the condition. Churches may fill up with people telling you that once you're a member of the church, that your name is written. No. Any sin, any defilement will not be in heaven. Fix it on this side of eternity. The fact that you're a member of the body of Jesus does not mean you will be in heaven. Your name must be written. Moody again told a story of a group of this real life story of a group of missionaries who arrived in LA way back in the days, maybe by boat. And when they met at the platform, they all excitedly talked about the hotel they were about to check in, to stay in, a famous hotel. And the story is told that when they got there, they were told by the receptionist that there were no rooms, no reservations. Early, no reservations. But we heard about this hotel. Yeah, but I just checked the guest list and your name is not there. And a group of missionaries were, okay, what shall we do now? Okay, maybe we should return to the station. And they noticed that one of them said, no, I'm staying at the hotel. I said, but haven't you heard? There's no reservation. And the woman said to the group, well, I telegraphed in my reservation ahead of time, so my name is on the list. Many Christians are heading to heaven with the expectation that their names will be there. But you have to telegraph in your reservation to heaven. You have to be sure before you get there. Make sure there's a mansion reserved for you. Many people will be surprised on that day. They will arrive and say, Lord, Lord, we've arrived for our mansions. Did we not preach in your name? Did we not establish churches in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Your name is not in the book. Because you have in you that which defiles. You have in you a lie. You have in you sexual immorality. You have neglected my word. Only those whose names are written in the book of life. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? So I close with two questions. Is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? Be very careful how you answer it. There are questions on earth that you don't answer glibly. They are too important. If I say, is your child immune against a dangerous virus? You don't just say, yes, I think so. No, you say, please, let me check the records. Let me be sure because I want the child inoculated now before the virus outbreak begins. Are you sure you have fulfilled all the curriculum for this exam? You don't just say, yeah, I think so. No, you say, wait, let me check. Are you sure you have all your traveling documents for a very important journey? You don't say, yeah, it's happened to me before. I remember there was a time I visited the U.S. and my parents were living in Waco, Texas, way back in those days. And in those days, you landed in Dallas-Fort Worth Airport and then you drove to Waco, Texas. You all remember Waco. This was before David Koresh spoiled the town of Waco. It used to be a very pristine college town. Baylor University is in Waco. And I remember when I was going back, well, they still deny whose fault it is. My father and my mother, they still accuse each other. None of them will own up. But I suspect it was my mother's fault. Someone left the ticket on the table and we drove all the way to Fort Worth. And then we got to the check-in desk and, okay, where's the ticket? Where's the ticket? I was happy because I had an extra week of holiday. Maybe I was very happy. They forgot the ticket. It cost them money. Do you have your reservation? Is your name written on the board? Do you have a boarding pass? When we left Waco, if someone had had a checklist to go, passport, where is it? Check. Visa, you don't need visa to go back to Nigeria, but that's check. Ticket, check. Advance reservation, or there was no online checking. Those were days of Panam and all of those airlines. Checked. We wouldn't have been in that trouble. I implore you, brothers and sisters, that this topic is so important. Please don't answer it glibly. I close with this question, another question. Are your children's name written there? The story is told about yet another woman who was on her deathbed. And she had 3-4 children. And the doctor already said, this is it. And she called the children one by one from the eldest. Called the eldest, laid her hands on the eldest, and blessed him. called the next son and blessed him. Said her goodbye to the third son. And to the little daughter, she looked at the girl with tears in her eyes. And then she looked at her husband and said, please make sure you bring this baby home with you. Jesus is looking at all of us and saying to us, make sure you bring my babies home with you. When you book your reservation, think about this. We thank God for his comfort and his promises. He said every word that he said will not return to him void, but will accomplish everything he has ordained. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord. We pray, Father, that your word and your truth will strengthen us and guide us. Please open your word to us. It gives us comfort. Lord, help our hearts to understand it. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.